Welcome back. We're on our journey. Ministry biz, you, launching, going at it, proclaiming Christ,
all that. So one of the skills, this is about learning a few skills to start a ministry biz. One of the most important skills is talking to people.
Okay. Talk. I mean, it seems so simple.
Right. So why is talking so important?
Romans 14, verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching, talking to them?
Okay, so the heart of God's plan to bring salvation to people is, of course, Jesus. But how in the world do people hear about what Jesus did unless someone talks to them?
Talks to them.
So the heart of the whole gospel is a talking piece. How do you create a marriage opportunity without talking to someone?
Right.
How do you do parenting without talking to your kids? How do you form friendships without talking to people? How do you have a relationship with God without talking and listening?
Right.
How do you start a business? How do you have a business of any sort unless there's some talking to people? So talking is probably the absolute number one skill that is necessary to actually do anything in life.
Right. Talking, listening repeatedly sounds like the connection.
It does.
I mean, really think of that through. And I mean, even if you on Facebook or on Twitter, that's all an example.
Yeah.
It is like network.
It's all communication.
Yeah.
So now, but how do you do that? And I know that some of you are extroverts.
Right.
You're an extrovert, Henry. I mean, you see people, you see a new person, and you can't wait to talk to them. And so you're motivated. You talk to one person, and you get so motivated, you want to talk to someone else.
Right. I have to actually cut myself off.
Right.
So I get things done.
I am an introvert. So I see all kinds of people, and I go, I'll let Henry talk to them.
Yes, he does.
And
travel internationally,
pathetic.
I am out there talking to people.
But
I've drawn the line, now he doesn't.
I will do it, and I can do it, but it takes more energy. It takes more, thinking about what I want to do.
Right.
And so it's a necessary thing.
Right.
And I love talking. I'm not a real chit-chatter. I like talking about a particular subject.
Yeah, he goes deep into the
subject. So I'm more on the philosophic side of life,
or the psychological side
of life. And then I get motivated to do it. I'm not that motivated to talk about the weather and some sporting activity or whatever it might be. But all of those things, all these talking things are like the grease that oils the relationship possibilities. And so if you're going to start any kind of ministry biz, it involves communication.
Yes.
So we want to talk a little bit about, well, how does that work? So number one, go to the talking place. And I'll give you some examples. There's Jacob on the well, Jesus at the well, and Paul at Mars Hill. So let's just talk about those.
Okay.
So, Jacob goes to a well, and he doesn't know what's going on. He had to escape his home because he stole the birthright.
Right.
And now he's off to his uncle's place, and he doesn't know anyone, and he stops at the well, and the well was a gathering place.
Right.
Okay, people bring their sheep, and so that happens, and, this beautiful girl comes, and no one can get the lid off the well, and it's probably a five-man job.
Right.
But when he sees this beautiful girl, he goes there and he just takes his shirt off and he lifts that thing, and you know, his whole trajectory of his whole life changes.
Right.
But the point is, he went to the place of connection where the people right. were. That's exactly what happened to Jesus. Jesus right. goes to a well. This, you know, in Samaria, this woman comes and offers him water, and they end up getting into this deep discussion
right.
that changes her life and perhaps the lives of the people in that area forever.
Spring up, oh well, this old song, you know, within my soul.
Right. So, but it was a meeting place. It was right. it wasn't a solitary. You know, Jesus, you know, after he was baptized, he went into the desert for 40 days. That's a place where people aren't.
Right.
But here Jesus goes to where the people are, and then opportunities to talk happen.
Right.
And the third example we had is Paul at Mars Hill.
We'll remind you of them in a minute. Okay.
So what happened at Mars Hill?
Well, what's fascinating about Mars Hill is that it's a hard crowd, and people are talking about philosophic things all day long. And Paul goes over there, and he first of all notices what they're talking about, and notices the various idols that are there. And when it's his turn to speak to the people, I mean, he understands who they are, his audience.
Yeah.
And then he says, "I notice that you have many gods here."
Right.
And there's one of them that's even the unknown god. Just in case you missed one.
Yep. Yeah.
And then he said, "Let me share who the unknown god." Yeah. In this place is, yes. And he is known as Jesus Christ.
Right. So it's interesting. I've been to Athens a couple of times. There's the Acropolis, which is a high hill in the middle of the city. And typically in the ancient world, they would build their temples on the highest hill. So if you go there, the Parthenon is there. It's one right. of the, you know, still sort of intact temples that you go and see. Mars Hill is just a little hill to the side of that.
Right.
So the temple was where all the temple stuff happened, but Mars Hill is where the Epicurean philosophers and right. the Stoic philosophers, they all met there. So this right. was the place where people went to talk.
Right.
And so Paul goes to the place where people want to talk. Mm-hmm. So as you're starting a ministry biz, in what sense is this a place where people talk? So, for example, the coffee
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Coffee is something that brings people. Coffee is like a Mars Hill, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you somehow get into the coffee thing, the goal then is to create an environment where people come to talk.
One of the words we use around Christian Leaders Institute is conversations, creating conversations. We do that with reaching out, talking through our articles and our blogs and our stories with keywords to connect to people via the internet. In a coffee shop, it's conversations. One of our life coach businesses that we're really excited about is the matchmaking business, where we have actually a class for being a matchmaker. And really, that's one of the things we want to explore, too. How to build a matchmaking right. business. That's right. on our list.
Yes, yes.
You know, and we have some excellent contacts and how to right. do that in a local church and right. even receive income for
right.
that.
Right.
But those are all conversation types of right. business.
Right. There's so many needs that people have and solutions that come from a biblical perspective. And each one of those solutions is a possible ministry
biz. That's right.
All right, so how number two, find a connection. Give you some examples. Jacob at the well.
Oh, here we go.
Jesus at the well. Paul at Mars Hill. So how did that happen for Jacob? How did he find a connection?
Well, that's the matchmaking ministry.
Right, right. So he saw the beautiful girl. But how does, you know, a scruffy right. guy who's been traveling for days, probably didn't smell too good, and he's sitting there. Now, what chance does he have?
Right.
So he saw the need. Mm-hmm. This woman comes with the shepherd, with the sheep, and there's no one to lift the thing, and no one is helping. So he springs in.
Why not I help out?
Yes. Why don't I help you out? And so he saw a connection opportunity.
Right.
Jesus at the well, right? This lady offers him water,
right.
And that became the metaphor. Jesus used that as a metaphor. Well, if you knew who I was, you would ask water from me, because
right.
the water I give you, you'll never thirst again.
Right.
So the metaphor, or the physical need,
right.
Jesus turned that into the spiritual need. And
right.
so learning how to do that, this is how conversations go.
Right.
That you're always, people speak one thing, but there's always a hint of something deeper
right.
in what they say.
Paul at Mars Hill is a great example too, where the need for understanding is universal. They even talk about that. Like, what changes world? Philosophy. What changes hearts? Thinking. So this is always relevant. So at Christian Leaders Institute, when you take the Christian philosophy class, that could actually
right.
be maybe through life coaching or, who knows what God can do,
right.
but it's conversations.
Right. So, if you think about Paul, he wanders into one of the most influential cities the world had ever known at that time. And who is he?
Right.
He's just some guy that's traveling. And how in the world is he going to connect? And so he's looking around, and then he sees all these statues, and then he notices the one to the unknown God, and he goes, there's my connection.
Right.
See, there's my in. You have this, he compliments them, and then he makes a connection to their world. In fact, in his little speech, he quotes one of their poems, one of their poets
right.
who wrote something, because he's trying to find a connection to those people. So I noticed.
I like a coffee shop that has like the different philosophies of conversation, and then Christianity is up there. And then
okay.
I yes. can envision
yes.
Modern day Argopolis.
Right.
Coffee shop.
I wanted to, the church that I'm the pastor of was an old grocery store.
Right.
Okay, and then we converted it into a church. In fact, the post office is in our building.
Okay.
So, and they moved the grocery store to right behind us in a new building.
Right, right.
So we have this huge wall that just says to the world, wall.
Wall.
He doesn't say anything.
Right.
So I always wanted to put on that wall, I wanted to put two options. And then I wanted to have a quote from Marcus Aurelius.
Oh.
Marcus Aurelius was the last great emperor of the Roman Empire. And he wrote a book entitled The Meditations. And in that book he wrote, the life that any man doth live is but a little. And the corner of the earth that he lives in, that too is but a little. And the fame that can remain of a man, that too is, whilst it is carried on by the succession of silly mortal men preserved, who likewise shall shortly die. So in other words, you live your life and people know who you are, and then you die and some people know who you are, but eventually no one knows who you are. So that's one philosophy of life. And then I thought I'd put on the other, Jesus. The resurrection and
the life.
I am the
way, the truth, and
yeah,
the life.
Here's the other option. You choose. So I think that's cool. If you had a coffee shop where you had all these different sayings of different philosophies,
right?
That I'm not just putting the Christian one out there.
Right.
I'm putting all the options on the thing, and it's sort of like saying, inviting people to now talk about things that are deep.
Yeah. So you could have like, Plato. You could have
yes.
Aurelius. You could
Steve
have
Steve Jobs.
Right. And have a conversation, and then. So which one do you believe, George, who runs the
yes.
coffee shop?
Yes.
I believe in the resurrection
yes.
of life. Really?
Right.
I mean, Jesus, you believe it?
Right.
Yes, I do.
Right.
But it's conversations.
It
and a ministry biz at the same time.
Exactly. So, this whole find a connection thing is something that I learned a lot from you. I remember, in our early days, I think I visited you when you were in Colorado Springs, and you said, today we're going to go meet people. Okay. So we went to the grocery store. Remember this?
I do.
We went to the grocery store.
This is one of my low moments. He shared moments. Like,
this is not. So he's like, okay, there was some guy looking at milk. So, okay, so just some guy looking at milk, and you walk over to him, and you notice that he has a Green Bay Packers shirt on.
Right.
So then you say, hey, Green Bay, I'm from Wisconsin, da-da-da-da-da. So there was a connection.
Right.
And then 5 minutes later, he's telling about his life, his story, and 10 minutes later, he's giving you his card because you're planting a church and maybe he could get involved.
Right.
So in 10 minutes, you go from just some random guy to actually inviting him to church, but it started with the Green Bay shirt.
Right.
Or whatever it might be. Let's say he wasn't wearing the Green Bay shirt.
Right.
Hey, what milk would you recommend? I mean, he's looking at milk.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is people are very passionate about what people are passionate about, and they wear it on their shirts.
Right.
They wear it on their life. Yes. If you actually get to know them a little bit,
right,
they will tell you exactly what they're interested
in. So I remember afterwards we had a little discussion, and I said, so what motivates you to do this, or why do you have confidence in doing this? And you said, I believe everyone wants to get naked.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
It's sort of like back to Adam and Eve, the garden where things are perfect, where people know you as you are and accept you and love you just as you are, and you don't have to hide. And people have that cover up all the time, and they're working hard to cover it up. So when there's an opportunity that for someone to actually listen to who you really are without judgment, with concern and encouragement,
they want to.
So it's, but the key is to find that connection to get you in the door,
right, and to do it with not manipulation, with sincerity, with, because people will see right through if you sort of have an angle about some selfish angle, even back to ministry biz. If you're talking to them because you're more worried about making money from them, they will sense it.
Yes.
But if you're talking to them because you want to minister to them and you also support your family, they sense that too. It's almost amazing how you can sense whether someone has an angle on you or someone who sincerely cares for you.
So that's why finding the ministry biz that you actually believe in is the key. If you're doing it just to make money, then people get that. But if you're doing it because you're passionate about this thing,
like you want to talk about Epicurus, you want to talk about, you know, you've taken our philosophy program here and you are interested in a coffee shop at, because you love these ideas.
Yes.
They will see that right away.
Absolutely. Okay. So, number three, ask questions. So, here's one of the questions. I love this question. I know when I started a church, before we started the church, my wife and I knocked on a bunch of doors, and this is the one of the questions that we asked, and it's such a good one. Why do you think people don't go to church? And, you know, if I had knocked on someone's door and I said, so why don't you go to church? See, that would be offensive.
Right.
That would be like, we're creating a wall here. But if I come to you and say, look, I'm trying to do something, I'm planting a church, and you know something I don't.
Right.
I want your expertise. So why do you think people don't go to church? And I found people were eager to tell me that this is why people don't go to church. And guess what they told me? They told me why they didn't go to church.
Right.
But I didn't ask why they didn't. I asked what they thought, you know.
Get about a conversation going.
Right.
You have to pin them against the wall.
Right. And so now, you know, I'm honoring them in some ways. Yeah. I'm trying to learn something from them. I'm not the expert. You know, a lot of evangelism is, hey, you need this, and I'm going to tell you about this. So I am in the, I'm looking down at you, and you're, you know, below me, and I'm trying to, no, I am now coming to you, and I'm saying, you know, explain this. If you could explain to this, that would be very helpful to me. So another question, which is similar. If you were to go to church, what would you like to see there? So that was always my follow-up question. And then what was fascinating about this, and it's just a curious question.
Right.
And it's not in your face. I'm not trying to get you to go to church. It's if you were to go to church, not that you would, right. But if you were, what would you want to see there? Now, all of a sudden, the person is thinking about going to church.
Right, right.
Without me pinning them against the wall.
Right.
It's in a creative, curious manner. And so people would say, well, I remember one guy said, if you don't have a sermon, I'll go to your church.
Right.
Because his number one objection was sermons are boring and irrelevant.
Right, right, right.
So that was quite a challenge to me. But it was a way to get a conversation going about church, and I found it was very easy to do. Another question that, you know, Henry, you and I have used all over the world is, what's your spiritual dream?
That's right.
And we have asked this anywhere and everywhere. We're in a taxi on the way to the ferry in Ireland, and we're going back to Wales, and
right.
You know, on the way, we ask the guy, you know, what's your spiritual
dream? Right.
On the bus, on the plane, in the park, overlooking
the train,
in
a boat.
It doesn't matter, anywhere and everywhere, this culture, that culture. I was in Australia once. I had a free day. I'm walking some trail, and I was told by all the Christians in Australia that Australians are anti-church. They don't
right.
want to talk about church. They're just... So I met some guy. I just said, say, what's your spiritual dream? And what happens when people... Sometimes they go, well, what do you mean? And you just say, well, whatever, you know, answer it however you want it.
Right.
And eventually what they end up telling you is what's important to them.
Right.
And how they're struggling in their spiritual endeavor. And, you know, this guy ended up telling me about how his grandfather was a solid Christian, and then something
right.
happened in the church, and they got unhooked.
Right.
And that's how the whole family got unhooked from the whole thing.
Right.
So here, all of a sudden, he's in a conversation about something that the family dropped 50 years before.
Right, right.
And it's just because you're asking curious questions.
And, you know, and even with that, spiritual dream question, you can make it that indirect way. What do you think most people's spiritual dreams are? I mean, if you want to really just be safe, you can even like put
yes.
it indirectly there.
Yeah, you could
there.
Say, hey, well, you know, what do you think most people's spiritual dreams? So now I'm not even talking
about you. You're not pinning them against the wall.
Yeah, it's like you're okay. This is something to think about. And you know, I think too, people are searching for significance.
Mm-hmm.
People are searching for a conversation that is more than just how's the weather and what's going on in the political scene and so on. Rarely do people have an opportunity to actually talk about something deep.
Right.
So if you have curious questions that help people start thinking, you know, not pinning, you know, I'm not trying to sell you anything. I'm just trying to have a conversation with you. If you go in and you start selling, then people tend to shut down. But I am curious as to what you think about these things.
Now, this next thing you have is how, but then you got to make a sale.
Yeah.
That sort of feels sort of like in your face.
It does sort of feel like it's in
yes.
your face. Okay. And I've got some ideas of what you should do. Get a phone number and set up another meeting. Get a card. Those are the things I saw you do.
Right.
Okay. So always in the conversation, we do have something in mind. We do have something that we're trying to... Again, there's making the sale. Now, that can be negative when I'm thinking I need to make a sale because it helps me.
Right, right, right.
Right? So sometimes when you're, you know, a salesman is talking to you, you get the feeling that he's going to say and do whatever
right,
it takes
right.
to get you to make this sale.
Right.
Then you have someone who's just trying to help you. Okay? Someone is trying to help you with something. And, you know, they're going to come over to your house and help you paint your house.
Right.
Are they making a sale?
Right.
In some ways they are, because
yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to help you, and I'm trying to get you to say yes. I'm trying to get you to say, let's do it Saturday. But I'm actually coming over to help you.
Right, right.
So if you have that mentality, my whole goal is to help you.
Right.
Not, you know, make some sale that somehow promotes me.
right.
somehow helps me.
I like that you put specifically make sale, because I think you can get to this part in the discussion and you can just stop. I had conversations, I'm just leaving it lay. But really, what you're really saying is make an influence.
Right.
You know, make a relationship.
Yes.
Make a next conversation.
Yes.
Actually, it's just not the curious part, it's the doing part.
Right.
And in some ways, we, in English, yes. we say make a sale.
Right.
Make sale. Because we get that you have to
right.
follow up and
right.
do something.
Yes. If there's no follow up, then you know the conversation is just sitting there, and you're raising up all these questions to them, and you're offering them nothing.
Right.
So, right. And a lot of right. times people the conversation will naturally go to this place.
Yes.
Right, as you're talking about these things,
right.
he's sharing things, and if you listen long enough, if you actually try to, you know, understand a person's position, often they're the ones that'll be asking. So, what do you do about it?
Right, right. right.
So, how does you know when I do pre-marriage counseling and I talk, you know, I ask them why they think their marriage is going to last, and they say, well, it's because we love each other and we talk
right.
all the time, and I say, yeah, you know, every couple I've ever met would say that.
Right.
And yet, 50% of them are wrong because they end
right.
up in divorce anyway. So, what makes you think your marriage is going to
right.
last? Well, you know, but we're special. We're, yeah, I hear that same thing too. Everyone thinks that they're special, and the reason they're getting married is because they like each other and they talk things through and they work
right.
things out. And, but 50% of them are still wrong.
Right.
So what makes you think yours is going to last?
Hmm.
I don't know. How do you know? See, finally, I'm to the place, I've listened long enough to where they're actually interested in an answer of some
right.
sort.
Right.
So really making the sale is not like, okay, I have to now force a sale on you.
Right.
You're the one coming to me wanting to know what some options might be.
Another ministry biz we have on the docket is the marriage officiant, you know, actually in your community do you know, do the ceremonies for marriages and do some life coaching in, you know, people. And we already have, many of you already have that ministry biz going. And I can mention some names of extremely successful ministry biz people who support their family by being officiants at weddings. And then in the process, someone comes to, then they make the sale. They actually say, can we get an appointment to actually
right.
talk?
Right.
And here's what I can do, and then conversations occur. And many of you have told testimonies about how leading people to Christ, a large amount of people to Christ. So now we say, look at this. You could plant a church in a coffee shop, have a matchmaking service, where you sell and promote Bibles, and you do weddings.
You could do it.
I mean, like, how cool is that?
Yeah. Ministry Walmart.
Right. You know, so again, these are all, we yes. say all these yes. things to just keep you thinking
yes.
about talking and listening,
yes.
connected to your passion.
Yes. All right.
Okay. Well, we'll move on now to the next subject, and I can't wait to see what it is.